So get ready, because today we're diving deep into culture, race, and counseling.
Oh, I like it.
And
Yeah.
you sent over these clips from this YouTube video, this NCE study group, Social and Cultural Diversity with Dr. Pam.
Yeah, she's great.
And wow, there's a lot to unpack there.
It's packed with insights, honestly. And you know what's cool? Like, she speaking to people who are going to be counselors.
Right.
But honestly, this stuff is important for everybody,
Oh, for sure.
especially, as the world's becoming more and more diverse.
Yeah, absolutely. And she starts right off the bat, she's like, let's define our terms:
Right.
race, ethnicity, culture.
Right. Because we kind of use them all interchangeably, but they're really not the same.
Yeah.
And one of the things she points out that's super interesting is that, like, race, scientifically speaking, is based on your bone structure. And there's really only three categories:
Really?
black, white, or Asian. Interesting, right?
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
I've never knew that.
Yeah, so then ethnicity gets into, shared cultural traits, language, customs, where your family originated, that sort of thing.
Okay, so it's like race is like the hardware,
Yeah, like the
and
hardware.
then ethnicity is some of the software, but then culture is like
Culture's the whole operating
a more
system.
operating system. Yeah,
It's
exactly.
the values, the beliefs, all of those
Yeah.
things that really shape how we see the world, which can be very
Oh,
different.
totally. And she gives that example of CP time, right? Like colored people time,
Right.
where it's like,
It's a different.
yeah, it's a little more relaxed
Yeah.
with like being on time. What's considered late in one culture is just arriving in another.
It's about perception of time. It's
Yes.
so interesting. Yeah.
And it's all about like how easy it is to misinterpret if you're not,
Exactly. And that's where ethnocentrism and cultural bias come in.
Yes.
Like, we're seeing everything through our own little
Our
lens.
own cultural lens,
Yeah.
which might not be the same.
And we don't even know it.
Yeah. And that's what's so dangerous about it. And
Exactly.
she gives that really, I thought that was a really great example that she gave about the nude pantyhose.
Oh,
And
yeah.
how
That's a good one.
it's like, well, nude for who?
Right.
You know what I mean?
It just highlights how the dominant culture kind of sets that standard, that norm.
Norm, yeah.
And anything outside of that can be very unintentionally
Yeah.
otherized, for sure.
Otherized, and that's where I think white privilege comes in. And she makes a really good point of saying it's not that,
Yeah.
you feel
It's not
privileged,
about feeling
but
it.
it's just you don't have to think about certain things.
It's about the advantages you have without
Right.
even realizing it.
Right. Like going to, I don't know.
Not even thinking about it.
Yeah, going to the store and being like, oh, I wonder if they have my hair products.
Or being asked to speak on behalf of your entire race
Oh,
all
yeah.
the time. Like, you are the spokesperson,
Like
right?
it,
Don't
you
you?
tell us. It's like, well, I'm just one person.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, we're not all the same.
Right. We all have different experiences.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're all running the same race, but some people started like way back,
100%.
you know?
Yeah, different starting lines for sure.
And so, how do we create a more equitable
Right. How do we even begin to do that?
playing field? And that's where I love that she uses that analogy of the salad bowl versus the melting pot.
Oh, it's such a good analogy.
Because it's not about us all being the same.
Right.
It's about keeping those
Retaining what makes us unique.
qualities. Yeah, and adding to this.
And then you put it all together and it's so much better.
It's like a salad.
Right.
You don't want your potatoes to be crunchy.
Exactly.
You want them to be tomatoes, and you want your lettuce to be lettuce.
And that's what makes it interesting, right? All those different flavors and
Yeah.
textures. And you can't have one without the other.
Exactly. And I think that's especially important in counseling.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're going to a therapist
Yeah, imagine.
who expects you to be a certain way because of,
To conform to their norms.
yeah, like you're never gonna,
You're not going to feel seen or
they're not gonna
heard.
feel seen, heard, or understood. It's
Exactly.
like trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
100%.
It just doesn't work.
You might be able to jam it in there,
Yeah, you can jam it.
but it's not going to be a good fit.
It's not a good fit.
And that's where things fall apart.
Exactly. And she said something like 50% of African Americans don't go back after their first visit
Isn't that
with a
wild?
Caucasian counselor.
Yeah, 50%.
That's huge.
That's huge. So clearly there's something going on there.
There's a disconnect.
A disconnect, yeah.
It's, I mean, that's a huge percentage,
It really is.
and it really highlights like the importance of just that cultural sensitivity
Yeah.
in those settings.
Big time.
And I think sometimes, I think some people think, oh, well, I'm just going to treat everybody the same.
Right. But it's not about being,
It's not that simple.
yeah, it's not about being like, you know, quote unquote, colorblind or whatever,
right?
Because that actually ignores the experiences of a whole group of people. And she gave that great example about the African-American client who asked his Caucasian therapist.
Right. Like, are you going to treat me differently because I'm black?
Yes.
Are you going to treat me differently? And he's like, well, no, I treat everybody the same.
Right. And that's not the right answer.
That's not the right answer, because it's like, you have to acknowledge.
You have to at least acknowledge that there are differences.
Yes.
And that by understanding those differences, you can actually have a more effective therapeutic relationship.
Because you're coming from a place of understanding.
Exactly.
Rather than a place of ignorance.
Yeah.
Is how, like.
100%.
That's how it feels, I'm sure.
Yeah. And it's about saying, I see you. I hear you.
Yes.
I respect you.
Yes.
I want to understand your world, even if it's different from mine.
Yes, exactly.
And that's powerful, right?
That's so powerful. And it goes beyond, you know, just that individual level.
Right.
She starts talking about social context.
Yes.
And how that really shapes our behavior.
Yeah. And she brings up these really interesting social psychology experiments.
Yes.
Like the Milgram experiment.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And the Zimbardo.
The Stanford Prison Experiment.
The Stanford Prison Experiment. They're both like
crazy.
So fascinating.
I know.
And disturbing at the same time, right?
A little bit. Because you're like, oh my God, am I that like malleable?
Right. Exactly.
Like I think I would stand up, but maybe not.
You would think you would.
You would think.
That's what everybody says. Oh, I would never do that.
I would never. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, they probably thought the same thing.
Right.
And that's the thing about these experiments.
And for those who don't know, like, Milgram was that.
So Milgram basically looked at obedience to authority.
Obedience, yeah. And, like, how far people would go.
Right. Even if it meant harming somebody else.
And they thought they were, like, harming.
They thought they were administering shocks.
Shocks. Electric shocks.
Yeah. To another person.
Just because somebody in a white coat was like, do it.
Right. Just because the authority figure was telling them to.
It's like, oh, just, it's scary.
And the majority of people went all the way.
You know, isn't that crazy?
Which is wild.
It's like, we think we're so, like.
We think we're so independent.
Independent, yeah.
And we're not.
But we're really not.
We really aren't.
And then, so then you have Zimbardo.
Zimbardo, yeah.
Which is the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Okay.
Where they set up this mock prison.
Yes, and they took randomly assigned people.
Students, right.
Students, yeah.
And they were either guards or prisoners.
Yep, guards or prisoners, just randomly assigned.
And, like, the guards went full on guard.
It's crazy how quickly.
They had to stop the experiment.
They had to stop it early because it got so out of hand.
It's like just because
the guards were becoming abusive.
Abusive.
And the prisoners were like withdrawing and becoming
submissive.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It just shows how powerful those social roles are.
And the expectations. Like, oh, you're a guard. Well, this is what a guard does.
This is how a guard behaves. And they just kind of fall into those roles.
And it makes you think like, what roles am I playing in my life?
Right, exactly.
Where, you know, I think I'm being authentically me, but.
But you're being influenced by all these external factors.
Totally.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's mind-blowing, right?
It really is. You know, they always say, the world is a book, and those who don't travel only read one page.
That's a good one.
But in this case, it's not even just about traveling. It's about, like, you know.
It's about expanding your horizons.
Yes. Expanding your horizons mentally, emotionally.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've talked about all this stuff.
I'm unpacked a lot.
Culture, race, these crazy psychological experiments. But, like, how do we actually apply this?
Right. How do we take this and actually use it?
Yeah, in our lives.
In our daily lives.
And they're here right now.
Yeah, because, you know, Dr. Pam is talking about being culturally competent in counseling.
Right.
But this is something that we can all benefit from.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, no matter what you do.
100%.
What if we approach every interaction with this kind of like.
Yes.
Awareness.
Yes. Like, that's what I was just thinking. Because I think, you know, so often we're just kind of like.
We're all autopilot.
Autopilot. And we're not really like tuned in.
Exactly.
To all these.
To the nuances. To the nuances. To all the cultural differences and stuff.
Exactly.
And if we can just kind of be a little bit more present and aware.
Yes.
Like, think about how much richer.
Oh my God.
Our lives could be.
Yeah, like, just imagine the connections that we could make.
And it starts with just, like, asking yourself a couple of questions, right?
Yeah, like, what.
Like, what assumptions am I bringing to this interaction?
Hmm.
How might my background be shaping my perspective? You know, and how might this other person's background be shaping theirs?
And realizing, like, It's not about being like, you're wrong or I'm right. It's just like,
it's not about judgment.
It's just different.
It's just trying to understand where they're coming from.
Yes.
The why behind it.
But why?
And when you understand the why, then you can start to, you know,
build a bridge.
Bridge that gap.
Yes.
And build a connection.
That's what's so exciting about this.
Yeah, I know.
It's not just like, oh, become more culturally competent. It's like, become more
human.
Human.
More understanding. More, you know.
More well-rounded.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it just makes you a better person.
Absolutely.
I love it. And it all starts with that self-awareness.
Self-awareness is key. And it's a journey. It's not a destination.
It's a journey, not a destination. That's good.
Always learning, unlearning, and relearning.
I love it. Well, on that note, another deep dive in the books.
Another one down.
Until next time.
See you next time.
Keep those great questions coming.